With pilots, normally we don't have amplification. You talked about in the because some of it's in the classrooms where they perform, different rooms upstairs next door, and in the auditorium as well. But to keep it equal across the board, we don't. But tonight we will, so that you can hear them as much as we can, so you can hear every bit of it and enjoy it. Again, this is their first time performing it in front of a live audience, you might say, and so. It's going to be a little bit nervous for them. Now, the ones that we pick for tonight, there might not be the ones that have it down the most, but the ones we wanted you to hear. And so there may be some stumbling here and there. I don't know, in the songs and in the speeches, I don't know. Sometimes there is, sometimes there's not. So you be gracious with them and understand that. They don't really have to have it down until Wednesday. This is only Sunday. This is only Sunday. So some of them just started yesterday for tonight. And they're Pilots, the PM pilots is for preparedness, getting ready for it. So most of them are, and it'll be a lot of fun. I enjoy what we do tonight because it allows many of you that are not able to come during the pilots week, you're not able to sit in the class, you're not able to see what goes on, you can see some of what goes on. And again, this is just a small part of what you'll see. So I think that tonight they are ready to perform for you.
We are the small ensemble from Faith Baptist Academy, and we will be singing Shouting Time.
name is Betty Payne. I'll be doing an illustrated story entitled The Water of Life. The Bible has many different names for Jesus, and the one I'm going to discuss today is Jesus as the Water of Life. The Bible tells us we should carry the gospel to all the people in the world. But to carry the gospel to different people, we have to have the right kind of vessel. First, we have a cracked glass. It does not ring true because it's cracked, just like some Christians do not ring true in their life. Some people aren't even saved. They profess Christ, but they do not possess Him. They walk the Christian walk. They talk like a Christian. They carry their Bible to church. They may even go to school here, but they don't have Jesus in their heart. And there's other people. They're saved. They know they're going to heaven, but then they get sidetracked. They get a girlfriend or a job, or they play sports, and they get sidetracked from God, and therefore they become unusable. And then we have the dirt. We have a dirty glass. How many of you would like a drink out of this? Raise your hand. I'll come bring it to you. Well, just like God can't, if you don't want a drink out of it, neither does anybody else. So God can't use a dirty vessel either.
That's right.
So God tells us to purify ourselves so that we're not dirty. And then we have this chipped glass. How many of you, if somebody came to your house, would you serve them water in a glass like this? Most of you wouldn't. Some of you would. But most of us wouldn't, because it's chipped. Somebody might cut their mouth on that. It's like some Christians have a sharp tongue. They cut people down with their words instead of build them up. They cut down their fellow Christians instead of building them up with kind words. Then we have this other glass. I can't put very much water in this because it's already full. Some of us are so filled with the things of this world, with the pleasures, the things that we can do. God can't use us because we're full of ourselves and the world. God can't even put any water in us to take to other people. And then we have this glass. It looks good, doesn't it? It's not dirty. It's not cracked. But then, when we fill it up, there's something wrong with it. It leaks. Just like some Christians leak. They have a hole in their spiritual bucket. They get a message, it goes in this ear and out the other, like preacher said this morning. Sometimes they're happy on the mountains, and other times, most of the time, they're gloomy in the valley. They're never happy. They're always sad or something. And then there's this glass. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not cracked. It's not dirty. It's not chipped. It's not full of the pleasures of the world. And doesn't have a hole in it. So, God can use this vessel. It's clean. We can drink out of it. So, just God wants us to be a clean vessel just like this, so that we can carry the gospel to different people in the world.
While they're carrying that out, I'm going to mention to you some of the different categories that we have in pilots. There's four main ones. One of those is academics, and I want you to see what the students are involved in and what they're doing in the academics category. So I'm going to have them stand, but before I do, I want to kind of give you an idea how big pilots is. I was looking at the numbers just this afternoon, and this in one-fourth, like I said, academics is one-fourth. There's four main categories. For just academics, there's 219 entries. That's a lot of things to judge. But in the academics, there's 219. Now, that's an increase of 25 from last year. So every year, we get more and more entries. We may not we've always had more students as well, but we have more entries as well, people entering the different categories. Spelling alone has 40 entries for pilots this year. Now, these are the folks that have entered some of these in academics. Those in spelling stand. And we're allowed to have at least four from each school in these categories, so you usually won't see more than four. All right, you can be seated. Essay writing, poetry writing, and short story writing, that's three separate categories. These folks have entered that category. You can be seated. Junior high math calculations and senior high math calculations. There's all your eggheads. Out here. They think. All right, you can be seated. And this is one we added a few years back, and it always increases in the people that want to enter it every year. And it's history challenge. If you're in history challenge, all the guys in history challenge. Okay, you can be seated. Then in academics, that's basically academics as well as some other things we'll mention later on tonight. But there's something that's a part of academics called, we call it CAP. And what that is if you have at least You have to be in at least one of the four main categories. One we've mentioned already is academics. The other three we'll mention a little bit later. But you have to be in one of each of those, and you have to place in one of each of those. And then we total up all your scores. If you get a first-place ribbon, you get 5 points. Second place, you get 4 points, and on down. And whoever gets the most points all around for being in all four of those categories and placing those four categories, they get a CAP award. And we have some folks entered in CAP, and anybody can enter CAP if they want. But these are the folks. They've entered in at least four of the main categories, and they're going to try to get the CAP award, which is a trophy. And let's have these folks stand. Luke Angel, Leah Angel, Jesus Garcia, Chris Heisel, Gage Kent, Elizabeth Olivas, Ben Payne, Rebecca Payne, Brianna Reardon, Caleb Reardon, Travis Rose, Diane Seaman, and Jessica Smith. I'll stay standing here for a second. Again, I was looking at the numbers. There's 13 folks standing here for the folks on the platform that are entering in CAP. Of all the students that are coming this year, 65 have entered CAP. So these 13 are battling, and there's only five places, only first through fifth place. And usually someone from our school gets that in spite of all the people that enter. Let's give these folks a hand.
Hi, I'm Luke Angel, and this is Caleb Burden, and we will be singing a duet entitled Praise You.
And keep. I am Travis Rose, and this here box is Luke Angel, and we will be performing a dialogue entitled, May I Take Your Order?
Good evening. Welcome to McDonald's.
Yes, just a second.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please? Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?
Yes, I would like
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?
Yes, I would like
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?
Yes, I would like a...
Speak up, please. We can't hear you.
I would like to order...
You're going to have to speak up if we are going to be able to take your order.
Okay. Calm down. Let's start over. Can you hear me?
Yes.
May I order now?
Go ahead.
Thank you. I would like a...
Is that with or without cheese?
I didn't order anything yet.
Is that all, sir? Please drive through.
No, that's not all.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?
It's still me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Only one order per vehicle.
Okay, whatever. I'm ready to order. I'd like a Big Mac, fries.
Would you like a pie with that?
I wasn't...
Please drive through.
I'd like to give my order first.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?
It's still me.
It's still who?
The person who was just ordering.
Which person?
The person who tried to order the Big Mac, fries.
With or without?
With or without what?
Cheese, of course.
Cheese.
Cheese on what?
On what I ordered.
Please drive through.
I wasn't finished yet.
Please do this. It is taking entirely too much time.
Okay. I'd like a Big Mac, fries, 9-piece nuggets,
large or small?
Large or small what?
Thank you. Please drive through.
How much? Just tell me how much you get me out of here.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?
We mentioned academics, now arts and crafts. That's the second one I want to talk about tonight and let you see some of the things and some of the people that are in some of the arts and crafts categories. Again, we'll start with woodworking. Those in woodworking, please stand. And we have one of those to show you tonight. This is Tony's. And there's some more upstairs after the service. You can go upstairs to one of the rooms upstairs and see all the different arts and crafts things that are finished. Also, metalworking. And the folks standing are the folks that are also in metalworking. And there's one person outside in the back in metalworking as well. Those in needleworking, please stand. This is basically cross-stitch. Then those in knitting and crocheting. Right, you can be seated. Those in flower arranging, which is designated for women only. Amen. Sorry, guys. Then also garments. This would be junior high and high school sewing. And I believe this year, some of the girls made their awards banquets dresses. All right, let's give them a hand. Also, I'd like the folks to stand that are in sketching and pen and ink. All right, you can be seated. And then those in oil, acrylic, and watercolor painting. See who them are. All right, you can be seated. In photography, I'm going to break that up because that's a large category in itself. Those in scenic and wildlife. Let's see who they are. You can be seated. Let's have the ones stand that are in photojournalism, color and black and white. All right, you can be seated. Photojournalism is a category in photography that would be something of newsworthy, something you might see in the newspaper or a clip on TV, something like that. Still life color and still life black and white. Okay, you can be seated. Portraits. Okay, you can be seated. Picture story. Picture story is six pictures that tell a story, and mounted in a frame or a mounting board that would kind of enhance the story of the pictures. And you can be seated. Then multimedia. Go ahead and stand. Multimedia. This is a usually computer or can be a DVD type presentation. This year, it changes every year. This year is the ministries of the church, and so they'll show like something you might see on a website, showing the ministries of your church and all the different facets of it. All right, you can be seated. Let's also go with baking. Baking, if you'll stand. All right, and again, that's designated mainly, for sure, to all the ladies. And since they have baking, you can be seated. The guys have archery. You can stand. They kill it and they bake it. So you can have a seat.
Hi, I'm Jamie Clem, and I will be performing a solo entitled Always the Same.
Another area of academics I haven't mentioned yet is that of scripture and memorizing scripture. We have two folks in scripture recitation. They have to memorize 25 verses or more, and that is Lupe Garcia and Jesus Garcia. Let's give them a hand. All right, you can be seated. I believe, I don't know where Brother Jason is, they were up here once before for afternoon program, before they were in school, or maybe right about the time they got in, up here quoting scripture for you, and here they are now in school doing the same. Five chapter award this year, the five chapters are the book of Philippians and the book of Jude, and the contestants are Ben Payne, Matthew Payne, and Diane Seaman. Let's give them a hand. The folks in the five chapter award or 10 chapter award, if we have those, they automatically, for memorizing, get a first place trophy and a certificate.
Tripped over the microphone wires. Now come on, put down that blow dryer and let's go.
Put it down, Dad. Don't you realize that blow dryer has to be surgically removed from the pan?
You just wish your hair was this great.
I want to win.
Come on, both of you, it's Sunday. Call a truce, will you?
Just give me one more minute, Dad, and I'll be ready to go. And I'm sure your mirror thanks you for that.
Now, what's keeping your mother?
She's still trying to decide what to wear.
Terrific. If we hurry, we'll be on time for next Sunday, sir. Oh, great. I don't even own six outfits. About time. Go see what's keeping Dave. What's it you so long?
You know when you start honking that horn that I can't make a decision.
Well, we're going to be late.
I know that. We're always late.
Well, we wouldn't be late if it was up to me.
Are you saying I make you late?
Oh, no. I just like to warm up the car 2.5 hours before taking it out.
I'm ready to go now, Dad.
You mean your hair is finally dry?
Not quite, but I'll finish it on the way to church.
Well, all right. Now, where's Lisa?
I can't find Dave.
He's in the car. Come on. I don't believe it. We're all here, ready to go. Finally. What happened to all the gas?
What do you mean, dear?
I filled up the tank yesterday, and now it's empty. Where'd you go?
Just to town and back, that's all.
Huh, what town? London?
Don't be silly, dear. You can't drive a car to London.
Well, if there was a sale there, you'd try.
Well, we have enough gas to get to church, don't we?
We'd better, because I'm not stopping for any. We're late enough as it is. Oh, man. All right, now, let's get to Sunday. Dave, let's see if that lane's clear.
It's clear, Dad. Just as soon as that bus goes by.
Dave, why did you do that?
Do what?
Never mind. But I suggest you stay up that blow dryer for a while. It's slow cooking your brain. Now, can we try that again?
It's clear now, Dad. Trust me.
Thank you, Dave. But I'd rather wait till the 18-wheeler goes by.
He would have waited for you.
Yeah, right in my trunk. There. Now, let's get to Sunday school.
Did everyone remember to bring their Bibles?
Yeah, why?
Because your father's speeding. You better hold them and start praying.
I'm not speeding. I'm just trying to get church where all the good seats are taken.
Oh, you mean the ones in the front, Dad?
No, I mean the ones in the back. Come on, buddy. This isn't a parking lot.
I really don't think you should be following so close to that car in front of us.
Why not? He's a slowpoke.
Still, I don't think.
Right, you don't think. So will you just please let me do the driving? Oh, man, this is ridiculous. I think I'm going to have to pass this snail.
All right, but when you do, wave. He's one of the deacons.
What?
Oh.
That slowpoke you've been honking at is Deacon Bush.
Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, well, he's got a Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker on his car. I'll just pretend that's why I was honking.
It just says, honk if you love Jesus. It doesn't say to play Amazing Grace.
Well, I'll tell him I got a little carried away. Anyways, it's good to know that they're going to be late, too. Oh, great.
What's the matter?
We just ran out of gas.
What are we going to do now?
Well, we're not that far from church. Dave, get out and help me push this thing.
You're going to push the car to church?
No, I'm going to carry it. Of course I'm going to push it. Got any other bright ideas?
This is so embarrassing. I'll never live this down. Never.
Things could be worse, dear.
How could things possibly be worse?
We could be on time. At least now everyone will be in their class already.
All right.
You're not just going to leave it in the driveway, are you?
Well, I'm sure not going to push it to that parking lot. Those speed bumps are murder.
Push it over there, Dad.
All right, that looks easy enough. All right, now everyone go straight to your class. Hopefully no one saw us. Dave, hold on. Why don't you put down that, leave that blow dryer in the car? If your hair gets any drier, Smokey the Bear will have to stay in guard over it.
Well, would you look who's here in time for Sunday school?
Deacon Bush, how are you this fine morning?
I heard you honking back on the highway.
Yeah, well, honk if you love Jesus. I got a little carried away, I guess.
I thought maybe I wasn't going fast enough for you, but you know me. Obey the laws of the land.
Fast enough? Oh, no. You were going plenty fast. I just had to get close enough so Agnes could read the bumper sticker better. She wanted to know what company printed it.
But that's written in small print on the bottom of the sticker.
You telling me? Why do you think I had to get so close? So, what do you say? Shall we go to class?
Yeah, I guess we can go over there now.
Yeah, better late than never, huh?
Late? Why, you're a half hour early, Carl.
What?
Yeah, it's standard time now. Did you forget to set your clock back?
Yeah, you mean I'm on time?
Well, don't expect us to throw you a party.
Yeah, no, it's just that I'm usually late.
I know, even the pastor noticed you're on time. They're reviving him now. Don't worry, he'll be all right. Say, Carl, you know, if you'd be more punctual like this, we could sure use your help in the Sunday school department.
Me?
Yeah, I admire a man who's not ashamed to honk if he loves Jesus.
Yeah, well, I do like to honk for the Lord, you understand.
Well, we could sure use your help in the Sunday school department, and the Lord would bless you for it. So what do you say? Can you and your family be on time next week?
You mean two Sundays in a row? Can the pastor's help take that?
This time I'll give an advance warning. So what do you say?
Yeah, I kind of like that idea. I like getting to church on time.
I think the Lord kind of likes that too, Carl.
While Kyle's coming up, I'll mention another thing about arts and crafts, the second one that I mentioned. You saw some of the students stand. I don't know if you get an idea, good idea of how many people are in that. I mentioned in academics there's 219 entries of all the schools together. In arts and crafts, there's 462 entries. And all those have to be judged by three separate judges. That's a lot to do to get through in a day and a half of convention. Of the 462 entries, 83 of them, it didn't look like much when they stood here and there, but that's 83 from our school alone.
Hello, I'm Kyle Balecki, and I'll be performing a monologue called Shopping. After a tearful session with my wife, I decided to commit myself wholeheartedly to understanding and relating her. I didn't know where to start. Suddenly, I had an idea that I knew would get me nominated for Husband of the Year. I could do something adventurous with Norma, like go shopping. Of course, my wife loves to shop. Since I had never volunteered to go with her before, this would demonstrate how much I really cared. I could arrange for a babysitter and take her to one of her favorite places in the world, the mall. I'm not sure what emotional and physiological changes ignite inside my wife upon hearing the words, the mall, but when I told her my idea, it was obvious something dramatic was happening. Her eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. She trembled with excitement. The same reaction I'd had when someone gave me two tickets to an NFL playoff game. That next Saturday afternoon, when Norm and I went shopping together, I ran face first into a major barrier that bars many men and women from meaningful communication. What I discovered blew open the door to understanding and relating to Norma. Here's what happened. As we drove up to the mall, Norma told me she needed to look for a new blouse. So after we parked the car and walked into the nearest clothing store, she held up a blouse and asked, "What do you think?" "It's great," I said. "Let's get it." But really, I was thinking, great, if she hurries up and gets this blouse, we'll be back home in plenty of time to watch a college game on TV. But after looking at a number of blouses on the rack, we left the store empty-handed. And then we went into another store, and my wife did the same thing. And then another store, and another, and another. As we went in and out of all the shops, I became increasingly anxious. The thought even struck me, not only am I going to miss the halftime highlights, I'm going to miss the whole game. After looking at what seemed like hundreds of blouses, I could tell I was beginning to lose it. At the rate we were going, I'd miss the entire season. And that's when it happened. Instead of picking up a blouse at the next store we entered, my wife held up a dress that was our daughter's size. "What do you think about this one for Carrie?" she asked. Taxed beyond any mortal's limits, my willpower cracked, and I blurted out, "What do you mean, what do I think about a dress for Carrie? We're here shopping for blouses for you, not dresses for Carrie." As if that wasn't bad enough, we walked out of the store empty-handed, and then she stopped, and then she asked if we can stop and have coffee. We'd already been at the mall for 67 entire minutes, which beat my previous endurance record by half an hour. I couldn't believe it. She actually had the nerve to want to sit around and discuss the kids' lives. That night, I began to understand a common difference between men and women. I was shopping for blouses. I was hunting for blouses. I wanted to conquer the blouse, bag it, and get home to where important things were, like my Saturday afternoon football game. My wife, however, looked at shopping from opposite extremes. For her, it meant more than simply buying a blouse. It was a way to spend time together as we enjoyed several hours away from the children and Saturday afternoon football. Like most men, I thought a trip to the mall meant shopping, but to my wife, it meant shopping.
And we will be singing Born Again.
For vocal and instrumental, that's the third category in pilots. I'm going to let you see some of the other events that they're in. You've seen the small ensemble tonight. You've seen a couple solos. You've seen the large ensemble and the choir in just a minute. Those in vocal solo, let's have them stand again, see if I got everybody. Vocal solo, go ahead and stand. There's a few more there than the ones you've seen tonight. All right, you can be seated. How about instrumental solo? Do we have anyone instrumental solo? There you go, Diane. Good. All right. Vocal trio. Oh, and Luke as well. I'm sorry, I missed him. Lupe. Okay, Lupe. Good. Right. This is not Luke. This is Lupe. All right. Good. All right. Vocal trios. All right, you can be seated. And vocal quartets. All right, very good.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Okay. Hi, my name is Guadalupe Garcia, and I'll be performing a monologue entitled Rachel Weeping. Don't talk to me of angel wings or starlight. I care nothing for your tidings of joy or goodwill. I can hear no heavenly music over the cries of dying babies and grieving mothers. Miracle? I spit on your miracle. I too had a son, a baby boy whose eyes reflected the most brightest star I'd ever seen, and whose voice was dear to me than any angel choir. For 6 long years, I prayed and waited for a child of my own. His advent was busy with preparations. A cradle was ordered from a local carpenter, and swaddling bands were carefully woven. On the night of my dear infant Jesse's birth, a star of wondrous brilliance and beauty appeared. It is an omen. It foretells greatness, my well-wisher said. Treacherous star, would that you had fallen burning to the sea. Omen indeed. It was an omen of death. It was that accursed star that brought the strange visitors from the east. They who, with their fancy clothes, fine beasts, and flashy wealth, aroused the envy of that toad, Herod, and set his attention on Bethlehem. These Gentile magi, with their portents and prophecies, walked into the presence of Herod, asking about the birth of the king of the Jews. Herod, a superstitious pretender, knew in his heart that he was never a king. He isn't even a Jew. He's only a half-breed Edomite catering to Rome for a kingship Rome has no authority to give. Only God can raise a true king of the Jews, the Messiah, the anointed one. But Herod, crazed by his own fears and the tales of a handful of Gentile wanderers, became like the hated enemy of old, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and released his rabid guards to kill every male child under the age of 2. They came, rank on rank, they came. Starlight gleamed off polished armor and sharpened blade. Faces of flint, feet of bronze, they came. The gates of hell swung open as the Holocaust swept through the city of David. Doors were bashed in. Men and women were held at spear point as their cradles were desecrated with innocent blood. Nursing babies were torn from their mother's arms and split in two. Some women tried to run with their little ones, but were run through with spears or trampled on by soldiers on horseback. No one in all of Bethlehem escaped. Barking orders and babies' cries were overpowered by the screaming and wailing of horrified mothers. The noise of death filled the air as if it were a solid thing. Chaos and death were already everywhere when the soldiers broke down our door. Six men, wild-eyed, with bloodless pants as they stepped in, with their crimson swords gleaming in the starlight. Two of them grabbed my husband and pinned him against the wall with their starlight soldier swords gleaming to his throat. I threw myself at the third man, to beg for mercy. His foot came down hard on my shoulder. A metal sword tip pricked my shoulder blade as the foot of another sword. Came down on my lower back. Jesse, my beautiful son, screamed and kicked in his cradle and then was silent. The babies cried no more. The tramp of soldier feet rumbled into the distance. The pleading of women and the screaming of children ceased. The air was heavy with the sickening smell of blood. Where was God? Could a God great enough to create the world with his words know the pain of a mother who sees her child murdered? It was so vain and senseless, a slaughter of innocents. Maybe in time, I can learn to go on in spite of this horror. The crying and wailing gave way to an eerie keening. The desolation of Bethlehem found its own voice, shrill and ancient, assailing the ear of God. It was the cry of his people that caused him to look down on the captivity in Egypt. They killed babies too. Out of the Holocaust, Egypt's murder, God saved a boy child to be a deliverer. Could he do it again? Has he managed to save at least one boy child to be our deliverer, a star, a promise? Tell me his name. God, give me some hope.
That's tough. That's tough. And I'm very proud of her. First time getting up here in front of everybody. Give her another hand. She did very well. Very well. I'm going to have these folks that are in platform. These are the type of thing you just saw right now. Platform events, getting up, standing up in front of folks, and saying something memorized all the way through and showing some expression through it. First, male and female monologue. Stand if you're in that. Male and female monologue. All right, you can be seated. Male and female dialogue. Okay, you can be seated. Famous speech. All right. Male and female poetry recitation. All right, you can be seated. Those in the one-act play. That's the honking the horn, going to church thing that you saw. You can be seated. Preaching, junior high and senior high preaching. I have four boys in that. You can be seated. A radio program. And you can, there you go, you can be seated. The expressive reading, which is female only. Expressive reading. Brianna. Male and female illustrated storytelling. That's what you saw at the very beginning with Matt. That's what he was doing. You can be seated. And then puppets and ventriloquism. If you'll stand. Okay, you can be seated.
My name is Ben Payne, and I will be singing a solo entitled The Judgment.
All is still, heaven is silent. Mighty Judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open as countless souls begin to moan. From the throne comes a voice like thunder. Depart, I know ye not. Written in this book are the souls. My my blood has bought. Faces turned as into that courtroom comes the very seed of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him. With the fury of all the ages, that demon voice begins to cry, "It's not fair, I almost had you on Golgotha, I watched you die." Then Satan begins to tremble as his fate to him was known. From the throne came the verdict, "The lake of fire will be your home." And I see every knee bowing, every hand in honor is raised, every voice to him is lifted. Thou art worthy, the Lamb be praised. Angels standing at attention as the redeemed begin to sing. Heaven's courts resound the anthem, "You are our Savior, Lord and King." Heaven's courts resound the anthem, "You are our Savior, Lord and King." Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, the Lamb be praised.
My name is Leah Angel, and I'll be reciting a poem entitled "A Little Pilgrim." One summer evening, ere the sun went down, when city men were hastening from the town to reach their homes, some near at hand, some far, by snorting train, by omnibus, or car, to be beyond the reach of city's din, a streetcar stopped. A little girl got in, a cheery-looking girl, scarce 4 years old. Although not shy, her manners weren't bold, but all alone, one scarce could understand. She held a bundle in her little hand, a tiny handkerchief with corners tied, but which did not some bread and butter hide. A satin scarf, so natty and so neat, was o'er her shoulders thrown. She took her seat and laid the bundle underneath her arm, and smiling prettily, but yet so calm, to the conductor said, "May I sit here?" He answered instantly, "Oh, yes, my dear." And there she seemed inclined to make her stay, but once again the car went on its way. The tall conductor, over 6 feet high, now scanned the travelers with a business eye, but in that eye was something kind and mild that took the notice of the little child. A little after, and the man went round, and soon was heard the old familiar sound of gathering fares and clipping tickets too. The car was full, and he had much to do. "Your fare, my little girl," at length he said. She looked a moment, shook her little head. "I have no pennies, don't you know?" said she. "My fare is paid, and Jesus paid for me." He looked bewildered. All the people smiled. "I didn't know. And who is Jesus, child?" "Why, don't you know? He once for sinners died, for little children and for men beside, to make us good and wash us from our sin. Is this his railway I am traveling in?" "Don't think it is. I want your fare, you know." "I told you, Jesus paid it long ago. My mother told me just before she died that Jesus paid when he was crucified. that at the cross his will way to begin, which took poor sinners from a world of sin. My mother said his home was grand and fair. I want to go and see my mother there. I want to go to heaven where Jesus lives. Won't you go too? My mother said he gives a loving welcome. Shall we not be late? I want to go before he shuts the gate. And he bids little children to come unto him. The poor conductor's eyes felt rather dim. He knew not why and fumbled at his coat and felt a substance rising in his throat. The people listened to the little child. Some were in tears. The roughest even smiled. And someone whispered as they looked amazed, out of the mouth of babes, the Lord is praised. I am a pilgrim, said the little thing. I'm going home. My mother used to sing to me of Jesus and his father's love, told me to meet her in his home above. And so today when Aunt went out to tea, and looking out I could not father see, I got my bundle, this my little kit. I am so hungry, I'd like to have a bit. I got my hat and left my home, a little pilgrim up to heaven to roam. And then your nice car stopped and I could see, you looked so kind, I saw you beckon me. I thought you must belong to Jesus' train. And are you going home to heaven again? The poor conductor only shook his head. Tears in his eyes, the power of speech had fled. Had conscience by her prattle roused his fears and struck upon the fountain of his tears and made his thoughts in sad confusion whirl? At last he said, I had a little girl. I loved her much. She was my little pet. And with great fondness I remember yet how much she loved me. But one day she died. She's gone to heaven, the little girl replied. She's gone to Jesus. Jesus paid her fare. Oh, dear conductor, won't you meet her there? The poor conductor now broke fairly down. He could have borne the harshest look or frown. But no one laughed, and many sitting by beheld the scene with a sympathetic eye. He kissed the child, for she his heart had won. I am so sleepy, said the little one. If you will let me, I'll lie here and wait until your streetcar comes to Jesus' gate. Be sure you wake me up and pull my frock, and at the gate give just one little knock, and you'll see Jesus there. The strong man wept. I could but think, as from the car I stepped, how oft the little one has found the road, the narrow pathway to that blessed abode. Through faith in Christ had read its title clear, while learned men remain in doubt and fear. A little child, the Lord oft uses such, the stoutest heart to break or bend or touch. Then by his Spirit bids the conflict cease, and once forever enter into peace. And now to all the happy news we bear, that Jesus paid our fare.
We are the Faith Baptist Academy Choir, and we will be singing Cherish the Cross.
Thank you. Amen. That was a blessing. I enjoyed all of that tonight. Every bit of it. Brother Don, thank you. And all the ones that worked to put that together. And young people, thank you for a job well done. Now, we don't have perfect teenagers because we don't have perfect parents. And we don't have a perfect church. We don't have a perfect pastor. But you do travel a little bit. And you'll see that God's given us some very fine young people. And I'm very careful when I say that. I know the devil listens, and he would like nothing better than to turn one of these young people sideways. But I come back from 95% of the places I go with a greater appreciation for our young people. That's not just the ones in the academy. That's the young people of our church. You can't imagine how many little kids sit out here every year during this time, and they can't wait till they're in high school. They're in junior high, and they get an opportunity to get up here and be involved in pilots. And they did a great job tonight, everybody. And Lupe, you know, you may have stumbled, but you finished. That's what counts. So that's what counts. Yeah, that's what counts. Absolutely. That's right. Far better than to just quit and walk off the stage. You were a hero tonight. That was a blessing. So don't let that bother you. Amen. And I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts tonight.